Jim has the best game, in the meow. Or wait, sorry, other way around. Because his cat has the worst meow in the game, so he has to have the best meow in the game.
I had to step it up.
Let's do the intro. Jim, you do it. You do something.
All right, this is the Freedom Fiends, podcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, and intergalactic prairie studios. We alter your locus of release by warming your synapses with regenerative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sinful estate as a matter of your head. Can you feel it, James Weeks? Can you feel it, Michael W. Dean?
Yes.
This is Jim Jesus.
Yeah.
And the show is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah. So, Freedom Fiends. All government is wrong. It's all just bad. It's all stupid. It all gets in the way. It all cripples human endeavor. If it ever had a purpose, it no longer does. It's being replaced by crowdsourcing and private ownership of weapons and technology and the blockchain. And a whole bunch of cool stuff. And if you still are worrying about who's the next president, you're square and stupid, and you shouldn't be, because they're all clowns and they all just want to steal your money and your rights. So now that that's out of the way, we can have fun. So, Jim, hi, Jim.
I was wrong.
You were wrong. So, you
well,
read
not,
this.
Not really. I was intentionally wrong.
Yeah, but you didn't explain you were intentionally wrong, and that will not stand on my radio show.
Aww.
So, you touched a buzzkill. Grandpa Dean being a buzzkill by pointing out that a story that they spent 30 minutes on last night that was cringeworthy, great radio, and horrific, and ridiculous, and funny was actually a pile of spider poop. Yeah, so
it was satire.
Yeah.
It was satirizing a lot of these kind of clickbaity kind of websites like BuzzFeed or whatever that kind of
Clickhole
dump stars. It's called Clickhole, which is kind of like an offshoot of The Onion. Actually the same company too, so
yep.
Same guys.
So, you were wrong, and I just want to say for the record that that story last night was completely made up. It was probably made up, I would guess.
We're burying the lead, by the way.
Okay, yeah, what was the story? Yeah. Go ahead.
The story was about how Beanie Babies are actually filled with spider eggs, and they're just now starting to hatch. So if you're old Beanie Babies, they were going to start oozing out little baby piccolo spiders, which are like horribly poisonous and leave giant welts if you're bitten by them. Which I have been bit by a piccolo spider.
Here's my theory: Beanie Babies were big money at one point. I mean, they were like Bitcoin right before Bitcoin, or a few bunch of years before Bitcoin. They were the thing. They were like people were invested, paying $5 each for them, and like selling them for $1,000 later, like a year later or something. So
kind of like the tulip
limited
bubble.
Edition.
There's kinda even like, still
the tulips, yeah.
There's even some Beanie Babies that are still worth a ton of money. Like the first runs of some of them are worth hundred. Like the first runs of some of them are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars still, even after.
My theory is that the spider program was made up by a Beanie Baby investor who was trying to pump and dump them, like you know, trying to lower the price so he could buy them all up one week and then sell them a year later and.
I'm sure he got divorced, and they were having to sort them out in a big pile and
fighting over the Beanie Babies. Yeah,
Beanie Baby.
They were filled with spider eggs, so she wouldn't fight for him to divorce.
Beanie Baby, you know, pump and dump.
That's the name for a band. It's not the worst band name I've ever heard. Beanie Baby, pump and dump. Pump and Dump is also a really horrible name for an attitude towards women that I've heard.
All right, I'm looking for a drummer now. Yeah.
Are you laughing, baby doll? Say hi, DJ.
Hi.
Oh.
Hi. What's up?
Hi.
What you playing?
Zombie Castaways.
All right, so... Back to this. We're doing radio here. So, yeah, that was not true. And, you know, I said it to you, and you're like, well, everybody knows because we said it's Clickhole. And I'm like,
I
not
didn't.
Only
no, no, that
do
was
a
Jeremy.
Lot of people on... Yeah. But not only do a lot of people on radio, who was the other co-conspirator at fault? Not only do a lot of people listening on radio not know what clickhole is, I would imagine there are people listening on radio who don't know what the internet is, or at least don't have it. They probably know what it is. I had an experience that was really sweet, kind of a neighbor knocking on my door yesterday and asking me to buy something for him on the internet because he doesn't have a computer. And he,
oh, wow.
Not that he doesn't have money. I mean, we live in the same neighborhood. He has like practically the same house we have, but you know, just doesn't bother to have a computer. And I know he listens to radio. He's an Alex Jones fan. Alex Jones, our syndicate mates. That was pretty funny. You called GCN our syndicate last night because we're syndicated. No, it's our network. Oh, okay. He's not, like, saying he's in the same syndicate makes it sound like we're gangsters or something.
That's pretty funny. Okay, well, that just makes it cooler.
It does. He's our syndicate mate on Genesis Communications Network. So, yeah. So that was wrong. That story was wrong. So we're going to segue into something that's very right, which is my friends. We're going to read a little short story on Cointelegraph. A very short interview with Joel Valenzuela. Is that correct, DJ? Yes. And I practiced how to say his name, and it's close enough that anybody who laughs at my pronunciation of Joel Valenzuela, I'm going to see if they can pronounce my middle name from reading it. Wareham. How would you guys say that? Have you heard
where
me say
am.
It?
Where am. Where am.
Worm.
Worm. Worm. Close enough. Close enough, you gringos. It's actually Prince.
Michael Worm
name
Dean.
Of town in England. Worm. Michael Worm Dean.
Yep.
Should change it to that. Yeah. It's Wareham, which is like a name that is so fruity, I can't even say it. It's so like yacht club. Michael Wareham Dean. Wear him out. That I basically have changed my middle name unofficially with a Bipcot license court to Michael Werecat. Werecat. I'm a werecat. I turn into a cat every full moon.
So. Yeah, people used to make fun of my name because it sounds like I'm some sort of king or something. James
Jim Ball, Alexander the Fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, James, what's James? Do you have a middle name, James Weeks?
It's James Thomas Weeks the Second.
Boy, what is this? A radio show?
Jim Weeks Jr.
Sounds like a yacht club, man.
We're a yacht club.
Yes. I like that.
The Freedom Fiends Yacht Club. Bipcot. Yeah. If anyone wants to donate enough Bitcoin for me to buy a yacht, I'll be more than happy to take it.
I talked recently about how my dad finally went and did his got his 23andMe, and he was no percent African, so my mother was 132nd black. And I'm 164th black. And
that still makes you blacker than Sean King, though. So
yeah. It does. That YouTube, that Twitter twatter guy, yeah. So, yep. But he didn't do 23andMe. He did Ancestry.com, and he sent me the printout. And it was like, it circled the regions he was from. And it was like, largely, you know, this circle was kind of a Venn diagram, like intersecting in northern Germany. It was like basically Germany, if you drew a big circle around Germany and then a big circle around the United Kingdom where they kind of intersected. And I was like, yeah, that's basically where the Anglos meeting the Saxons is what that's showing. So that's my rich tapestry.
They got the wasp genetics.
Yeah, man. All right, so we're gonna read this thing. Who wants to read? Who could read? Who can read? James Weeks.
Let's see here. We got.
So I'm gonna
this
be
interview
I'm
gonna with be, Joe Venezuela.
I'm gonna be
Joe,
the interviewer.
You'll be the interviewer.
This is for Rights Brigade, which is his nonprofit organization he started, runs on donations and Bitcoin and hope, and you can help him out. You can go to rightsbrigade.com, and we'll put that in the show notes also. And they do a lot of things. They're mainly concentrating right now on what they've been doing lately is jury nullification outreach. You know, walking up to jurors and handing them pamphlets and explaining to them how, you know, potential jurors going into into the courthouse explaining that they don't have to judge guilty even if they believe the person did the thing, if it's something that isn't really, shouldn't be a crime, that doesn't have a victim. And that's actually legal in New Hampshire, and it's legal most places, but some places they'll throw you in prison for handing those pamphlets out. It's still not easy even in New Hampshire, even though it's legal there. And he has reached over 600 jurors. His organization has reached over 600 jurors in 9 different counties so far this month. And 20 New Hampshire towns have populations smaller than the amount of jurors they've reached. All right, so I'm going to be the interviewer. So, and you're going to be Joel Valenzuela there.
I will be playing Joel Valenzuela.
Yes, yes. And that is the last name that is actually was the original real last name of Richie Valens, which is an easy way to remember it. If you've seen the show, the movie La Bamba, which I rewatched this week so I could learn how to say Joel Valenzuela. Yep. It's basically Valens and then Zuela is the easy way to remember it. It's close enough that nobody can say my middle name any more correct than that. So, Joel. What necessitated your campaign?
Everyday people go to jail or suffer criminal convictions because of either a legal technicality or because they committed a victimless crime. An action that is technically illegal but hurts no one. In the American jury system, jurors can vote not to convict a defendant regardless of the law. However, most jurors don't know that they have this right and end up sending innocent people to jail because they don't think they have a choice.
You know, this is the perfect way to have people on without having to, like, deal with technical issues, you know, because we have pretty high standards of decent quality, and people usually don't have that ability. Some people have friends that have a studio or whatever they can go into, but even so, like, I'm probably never going to have anybody who's not a host on this show again because people can't be trusted not to cuss. Maybe Joel Valenzuela could be, but I'm not going to take a chance with having anybody, probably take a chance with having anybody on this show ever again. But yeah, just send me a transcript of an interview and we'll act it out as a little one-act play. We'll continue this play about rightsbrigade.com when we get back from this trip to the market. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
You know what I hate? Indian givers. Oh, I take that back.
That's funny.
Ew.
What happened to
the music? Phillips is great. Yeah, what's going on?
Daniel, what's up with you? You're the guy that did this yesterday, aren't you? Man, Daniel's losing points left and right. Just bring the music back, Daniel. You can do it. Guess you get what you pay for when you're on the midnight shift. All right. Yeah, I think that's where they train. That's where they train the good daytime hosts. Or hosts. I'm making mistakes while making fun of other people.
You made mistakes. Let me make mistakes making fun of you for it.
I know. Anyway, so we're going to move on and do this little one-act play here and read this this interview in Cointelegraph with Joel Valenzuela from rightsbrigade.com. So we're reaching to the second question there, James.
Yep, Joel Valenzuela played tonight by James Weeks II.
Yeah. Yes, doing a great job for a Viking. All right, so but we have one special treat coming up, and it may take us 5 minutes, more than one segment to get through this 2 minute interview here. But the last paragraph is going to be read by Jeff Riggenbach. He's flying in to do some dignified. He's calling in on an ISDN line from the local public NPR wow. affiliate in his town there in San Francisco. All right. So what necessitated your campaign, Joel Valenzuela?
Every day, people go to jail or suffer criminal convictions because of either a legal technicality or because they committed... Wait a minute. Is this the you part I already read?
All right.
Yeah, so, we started back over Joel, at the top.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Joel?
We will pass out pamphlets to jurors in front of the courthouse at 11 superior courts in New Hampshire. Activists are compensated in Bitcoin, not much, but enough to cover their transportation costs. Some days there are six or more selections simultaneously, so that means we will need six activists all over the state to reach all jurors. A little compensation helps incentivize them.
What are the challenges of the campaign is encountering?
We have attempted something like this before, but without raising the funding first. It went well, but some activists got burnt out or were spending too much money on transportation. Now that we have an actual budget, it's much easier to get reliable help.
Could we go through your budget and ask how much you want to raise?
Sure. It's all very public. No mysteries here. I wanted to give each activist the equivalent of $10 per operation, $20 if they have to drive more than an hour. For the 18 times they have to go out in January, that's between 180 and 360 total, depending on if we locate activists who live close to the courthouses. So far, we have raised about 0.885 Bitcoin, or nearly $1,000. That should cover activism for several months at least, much more than I had expected.
Very cool. And now we're going to jump in with our special wow. guest, Jeff Riggenbach.
Are my levels okay?
His non-union equivalent. So who is Jeff Riggenbach and where would people know him from? Jeff?
I am a reader at the Mises Institute, where I read a number of great audiobooks. You can subscribe to them at themises.org.
All right, so last question here for Joel Valenzuela, aptly played by Jeff Riggenbach, or his non-union equivalent. At the end of the day, what does Rights Brigade want to achieve with this outreach?
JV, there are two goals here. The first is to educate every single juror in New Hampshire about their right to nullify bad laws. By doing this, we hope to keep as many innocent people out of jail as possible. I do a lot of takes on these audiobooks, by the way. The second goal is to experiment with this new Bitcoin-fueled approach to activism. Before this, I worked in the nonprofit world in fundraising. There were so many government-imposed restrictions on donations, how they were spent, and what the organization can do. There's no limit to what we can accomplish if we can be free to do whatever activism we feel to do the most good, and the power it on a small budget of anonymous Bitcoin donations. We could end up revolutionizing the way nonprofit organizations work, all because of this easy cryptocurrency. All because of how easy cryptocurrency makes donations and tipping.
Excellent. And you're very good timing post, there, right? Jeff Riggenbach, reading the words, the immortal words of Joel Valenzuela from Rights Brigade. So go to rightsbrigade.com, check it out, share it, send a donation. Definitely share it, whether you can send a donation or not. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
When this final album issues, it's not because I need to know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on Jeep,
and Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small.
He's a real true fiend, but gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now are small. He's a real true fiend, but gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now are small. He's a real true fiend, but gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now are small. He's a real true fiend, but gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now are small. He's a real true fiend, but gotta collect them all.
I thought I got disconnected. Nope. I was like, no.
Nope. Yeah. That's the new, so there's a new Fiend phone out. Probably the final Fiend phone ever, maybe, on Windows. Because it'll work
forever
now. It is
open source.
Does everything it needs to. Well, yeah, unless someone wants to. No, it's technically not open source because it's covered by the BIPCOT. Oh, yeah. No government license, and the source is open, and anyone can remix it with whatever they want as long as they credit it, and as long as they're not part of the government. And that last bit, that means that it's not truly open source. According to the Open Source Initiative, they told me that, and they are the central scrutinizers of open source. They centrally plan open source and what is open source. So
the source is open, but it's not open to source.
Yeah, but this sound, right. So this sound is the sound I made that you now hear. You'll never hear it on the radio again. It's what the hosts hear, and the host only hears if he disconnects on Fiend Phone accidentally. So it'll prevent a problem that I've had a bunch, which is if I get disconnected for one reason or another, I keep talking because I just talk a lot. And, you know, then I finally go, what do you think, James and Jim? And I hear nothing. And then I realize I've been talking to myself for 2 or 3 minutes. And, you know, they've gone on without me, and I don't know. The main problem with that is I don't know where to pick the story back up. So I had Derek add that function, and we do not have the auto connect because it caused more problems than it solved. And we had a conversation about whether or not to have everybody hear the disconnect sound or not, and we decided not to have everyone have it. Because then everyone would think they've disconnected and all stopped talking.
And then the radio people would hear it. The radio people would hear it because the other line would start hearing it. And it would just be like, scratchy scratch. Everybody was like, ooh.
Yep. It'd be like, you'd hear that sound and then no one would be talking. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. So, before we segue into making fun of a very popular cryptocurrency...
We want to separate.
And, you know, someone might say, "Oh, well, if you're such a critic, where's your cryptocurrency?" And I'll say, "Right here." But Jim, what is your problem? And I agree, it's stupid when people do this. What is the problem with someone saying, "Oh yeah, like you don't have a right, you don't have a cryptocurrency, then you don't have a right to criticize mine"?
It's sort of an ad hominem attack. It's like one of the offshoots of the ad hominem attack. It doesn't matter. You cannot ever have made a movie and still critique a movie.
Yeah.
You cannot have ever released an album and then go like, wow, you know what? Nickelback is pretty terrible. Yeah. You know? So yeah, it's not an argument.
It's specious. There should be a specific name for that fallacy.
I think there is. I just don't know what it is exactly. But it is against the man at the end of the day. You're making an argument against the person. And there was a guy who made a really terrible, pretentious film who's like an alt-righty kind of guy. And when it came out, everybody just slammed it. And his response was, none of these people have ever made a film before. It's like, well, we've watched plenty, and that was one of the worst.
Yeah. Actually, I would almost say that... That people who have not engaged in the experience have more of a right or more of a place, or I would probably take their criticism more because they are the people who ultimately watch the movies, and people who make movies tend to be so lost in the minutiae that they lose track of it. And they also suffer from kind of a, I would say, what's the Marxist fallacy of like a labor theory of value? People suffer from a like, you don't know how much sweat and blood goes into making a movie, so you can't criticize it. That's ridiculous. There's movies that have taken 10 years to make that are unwatchable, like Eraserhead, and there are YouTube videos that took as long to make as they take to watch that are fabulous. Yeah. So,
and any woman will tell you that the labor theory of value is not entirely true once they have intercourse with a particular man who's not very good at it, but lasts very long.
Works too hard at it. Tries too hard, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm almost thinking of a name for what that fallacy it should be. It should be the something about experience. The call to experience. How's that?
Yeah,
the call to experience. Besides, fallacy.
You make things for consumers. You don't make things for other producers. I did make Cards Against Humanity expansion packs for other people who make Cards Against Expansion packs. So when people come to me and say, like, hey, your thing is not very good, it's like, well, that's, you know, your opinion and your every right to it. I think
you should just say, oh, yeah, where's your Cards Against Humanity expansion pack? Which there are probably fewer of those than there are cryptocurrencies, I would imagine. Yeah. Even though it's probably easier to make a Cards Against Humanity expansion pack.
Yeah, well, there's a barrier to entry on that. If you're making physical copies, it's pretty expensive to make those things.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
It's true. Yeah, you could.
We were talking about how we're going to segue into something by telling
a joke. You could actually release a cryptocurrency for like $5.
But it used to be like five. What is it that it was used to be like $500, wasn't it?
Why? Yeah. What would that be?
You had to pay some kind of to it.
Oh yeah, back then. I mean, if you could program it yourself.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to pay like $5 probably for, you know, to rent a seed, like, so, you know, a little bit of server space to run the seed node. Although technically you could run that from home from your internet connection if you didn't mind crazy people knowing your IP address. So
is there a Trump coin yet? There has to be a Trump coin.
Yeah.
There really is. Okay. Not, I mean, like, actually, not an actual physical coin. I know those exist.
No, there's a cryptocurrency called Trump coin, and it actually peaked in value the night of the election and then went back downhill. And there was also a Billary coin, which was a Bill and Hillary coin, which which died in value the night of the election.
What if Trump coin was his entire campaign was a giant pump and dump for Trump coin?
Maybe it was.
I haven't seen any evidence that true that show that.
Well, maybe
it has to be true.
Maybe Bitcoin is just a plot to make my cat more famous than Jim Jesus's cat. It's working.
Yep, that's legit. Yeah. Everybody used to know the name of Kitty Wopolis, and now it's like Kitty who?
Yeah,
I only know Bip Cat.
I know. There's even a user.
The truth behind Bip.
What?
She's no longer an A-list celebrity cat.
Yeah. Bip cat.
All right. So speaking of ridiculous pump and dubs, there's a cryptocurrency called Zcash, which has like a lot of money behind it. It's I don't know if Roger Ver is involved, but there are some, like, you know, millionaires put money into making this, and it was for like a day. It was actually worth more than Bitcoin, and then it just crashed. Like, a nickname for it is Z Crash. I mean, it's still, you know, one of the top rated cryptocurrencies, but, you know, everyone thought it was going to replace Bitcoin, and it did not by far. So I actually came across this video put out by Zcash called the Zcash ceremony. If you want to Google this video, and it's 4 minutes long. I'm going to play about 2 minutes of it, the middle part of it, where they're actually describing and showing what they call the ceremony, which is when they were generating, you know, basically the cryptographic public and private keys to create the coin, making the Genesis block or whatever it's called on Zcash. I think it's even different. They did some things different, but like this coin, there's nothing to prove that this coin is any more secure than Bitcoin, but they made a big play of like what I would call security theater. You know, people say that the TSA is security theater, and I believe it is. You know, a good example is you know, they take away any liquid because they believe liquids could be bombs, and then they throw them in a, you know, open container full of other liquids that could be bombs in a room full of humans. You know, that's
right next to you.
If they really believe it's a bomb, they should like take it away with a bomb squad, you know. And the only terrorists who've ever been stopped on planes post 9/11 in America have been stopped by other passengers. The shoe bomber trying to light something in his shoe. You know, the TSA has stopped zero people. They've stolen a lot of things from people. They often steal valuables from people. They even recommend at airports, they know, they say like, don't, you know, there's signs that say, don't put anything valuable in your checked luggage, you know, because basically, like, they're saying our employees will steal it.
Mm-hmm.
They stole a target. My dad came to visit me a few years ago. We went shooting. We had some paper targets. He shot really well for a guy who was like 91 and it was freezing out the day we went. He shot out at 30 feet from a bench mount with a 22 with iron sights. He shot over half of 50 shots in a 1-inch circle. That's pretty amazing for an old dude that hasn't, you know, shot in a long time. Oh, no, it was actually with a scope, but he never shot with a scope. He's used to an iron sight. So, yeah, it was like a lot going against it. And he shot really well. And, you know, he had me like write my name on it. He wrote his name on it. We wrote the date and the town. And he took it with him as a memento. I thought it was really sweet. They stole that. The TSA stole that. I don't know if they were like, you know, it's not valuable. I don't know if it was like, oh, this is guns. This is dangerous. We can't have this on a plane, you know. Or if it was like, you know, someone who didn't like guns and was like, oh, this is a gun memento, I'll destroy it. Or more likely, probably someone who's like going to hang it on their wall who can't shoot and said they did it. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. But yeah, they stole that. So
the TSA took your baby away.
Yeah, TSA took, you know, something sweet that my dad and I did together away that had no monetary value. So they are security theater, and I think that Zcash is security theater too, because they explain and show this whole process of how it was secret and done in different locations. And it actually would have been far more secure to do it in one room where they could, you know, have six people in one room doing it so they could all verify that, you know, there were no leaks, instead of having six different people in different locations doing it. And the thing is, like, all of this was being filmed by being broadcast connected together with Google chat, video chat, which is not in any way secure. And people were filming it with cell phones, which is not in any way secure. You know, it would have been a lot more...
It's theater.
It's theater. So we'll play this thing when we get back. Now that I've hyped it a lot.
Brian,
it will not disappoint. It will not disappoint in its ridiculousness.
Listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Jim Gaffigan is far superior to that comic you like, Jim.
Emo Phillips is wonderful.
Do you know Jim Gaffigan?
Jim Gaffigan's pretty funny, but yeah, I really kind of like the Garden Path humor.
I wish Jim Gaffigan cussed. No, I'm kidding. He's known as the clean comic, but he's not that clean. He'll say bastard, which I can barely say on FCC-controlled radio at 4 in the morning once a year. All right. So what'd you say you like about me, Jim, after I said I was only going to be on the first segment?
What I really like about Michael is he'll go, like, I'm only going to be on for one segment. Your voice is shot, and I'm sick, and then we're
as always,
oh, that's a bummer.
And then he'll stay on the entire show, and it makes for a great radio. So,
well, I'm gonna bow out after this segment, though. So,
okay. Yes, and then you're gonna find an article and be like, "Oh,
I know, oh. I know." Right,
so I'm gonna play this. I'm just gonna do the very first part of the segment, and then I'll drop off. And then
the Zcash ceremony thing we're playing, and so Brian Sovereign doesn't call me up screaming. I want to say that this. I'm not saying Zcash isn't great. I don't know if it is or not. I have no idea. It seems overhyped to me, but I'm not saying it's not. There's nothing about this video that says it's not great, but there's also nothing about this video that says it's secure in any way. And this video pretends that it's secure. It's funny they called it the ceremony because it is a ceremony. It's not really any kind of science. So I'm going to just go ahead and play it here. All right.
So we went to extraordinary lengths to make sure that it never came into existence at all. The ceremony's first core defense was multi-party computation. Six participants in undisclosed locations across the globe collaborated to construct the public key needed to make Zcash work. Participating parties included an original cypherpunk, a distinguished information security firm, and a Bitcoin Core developer whose station was mobile. Each of the six participants individually generated only one piece of the full public and private keys. The private key pieces were kept isolated through use of the second core defense. An air gap was used to keep the computers which generated the keys physically disconnected from all networks. These air-gapped machines were called the compute nodes. Each of these computers was bought new from a random store and were never connected to any network during their entire life. To make sure, the participants physically removed the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth radios before powering the computer on. The air gap eliminated most of the ways that could allow someone to potentially compromise these computers, since they were incapable of making or receiving network connections. In addition to these isolated machines, each participant used a separate computer which was connected to the internet, called a network node. To share their processed information with the other participants and construct the public key, the air gap was bridged exclusively with Write Once DVDs. The use of these disks constituted a third core defense, the creation of evidence trails. The information burned to the DVDs and passed between the compute nodes and the network nodes cannot be erased later. This way, even if someone were able to somehow get maliciously crafted data onto the disks, they would provide an enduring evidence trail of exactly what messages were passed. We also made a hash chain, a successive series of characters derived from the data of all the ceremony's messages to create a permanent, verifiable record, and we posted those to Twitter, the Internet Archive, and timestamped them into the Bitcoin blockchain. In addition to the three core defenses, the participants used a custom-built security-hardened version of Linux, which is now available for public review, along with the software used in the ceremony. Further, several stations documented with photo, video, or audio recordings, and one station invited an independent journalist. When the ceremony was complete, each participant was tasked to destroy any trace of their private key piece. Several creative, or should we say destructive, methods were employed. Zcash is the first protocol of its kind. It is the product of years of scientific research, advanced engineering, and diligent security.
So, there weren't
some bad say physical removal.
Why did they have to? Why did they have to do all this in different rooms?
That's the thing.
There was absolutely no reason for any of that to not be done in the same room.
It would have been more secure to do it in one room and have all the six people verifying that nobody messed anything up. So there.
It's theater.
Scared theater. All right. Have a good show, you guys. Thank you for your service. Y'all rock.
Worm.
Michael Worm. Worm. It's two syllables. Worms. Worm.
Worms.
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 Worm. Worm. Ham will give you worms if it's not cooked properly.
Say it as Jeff Riggenbach.
Ham will give you worms if it's not cooked thoroughly.
You sound like you're using his microphone. It's weird. It's amazing. It shows me called Jim was wrong. By the way, I'm using a picture of Dip Cat wearing the Russian hat too. The big gov, yes gov, crypto, worm. two people know what I'm talking about who aren't on the show.
Hi, have you heard about BIPCoin? Not Bitcoin, but BIPCoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. BIPCoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, BIPCoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. BIPCoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, BIPCoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to BIPCoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both the website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends if you can't chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, coin.org.
Oh, no, I have it. I have it. I have the thing. I have the thing. I have the thing. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibHair 2017, the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license that allows reuse by anyone except state actors. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. I found it just in time. And I'm here with James Weeks, and I'm Jim Jesus. So you brought me this very delicious Vice article. Vice is starting to get kind of bad, but you know, Vice is known for having some pretty good articles, and they're still there. They still come out every once in a while, but there's just been a lot of garbage in it. But this one is particularly tasty. Do you want to talk about it since you're the one that sent it to me?
Which I sent you two Vice articles. I'm not sure which one.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe they're doubly good today. I haven't gone through all the links that you sent me, but apparently Trump's wall will be funded by taxpayers and reimbursed by Mexico later.
Yes.
Allegedly.
Yes. The article here, Vice... got on Thursday, CNN reported that Trump is planning to get Congress to appropriate taxpayer funds to foot the bill for the border wall construction, breaking his mantra-esque promise to build the wall and get Mexico to pay for it. Trump immediately hopped on Twitter bright and early Friday morning to correct the, quote, dishonest media, unquote. Mexico will be reimbursing the U.S. for the multi-billion dollar project after the fact, using taxpayer money to begin with it just for the sake of speed, he says. His tweet read, "The dishonest media does not report that any money spent on the Great Wall for the sake of speed will be paid back by Mexico
starring
later."
Matt Damon.
He's calling his wall the Great Wall. I love that.
And it's in capital letters, so that's the official title.
That's the official title of his wall. The Great Wall of Trump, huh?
And it'll be gold plated with marble facades. It's gonna be fantastic. It's gonna be tremendous.
It's gonna say Trump all over it.
No,
it's gonna be huge.
Just the
huge.
Just big golden T's all over it.
Yeah, continuing out with the article, Chris Collins, New York representative and congressional liaison,
frankly,
for Trump's transition, told CNN that the Trump camp is confident that the president-elect will be able to wrestle the money from Mexico. This is Collins speaking. "When you understand that Mexico's economy is deeply dependent on the U.S. consumers, Trump has all the cards he needs to play," Collins said on New Day. "On the trade negotiation side, I don't think that it's difficult for Donald Trump to convince Mexico that it's in their best interest to reimburse us for building the wall." Then we get, how is he going to get Mexico to pay for the wall? I mean, come on.
He's saying that he was going to threaten them with some sort of kind of embargoes or some sort of kind of economic kind of sanction-y things.
Unless they pay billions of dollars.
Yeah, even though they're still looking at him and like, okay, that's great, but we're still not paying for that effing wall. That's what they're saying. So,
yes, Mexico, of course, is not and has never been on board with Trump's wall scheme. Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto, I think I butchered his name there, has been very clear that the country has no interest in shelling out millions of dollars for the Great Wall, again in caps. It is the name of the wall of Trump, the Great Wall of Trump. So we'll see how the president... How the president-elect's convincing goes.
Yeah, it's not going to go very far.
No, but we're just going to end up paying for it, and Mexico is going to tell them, have fun. We're not paying.
And most of the presidents that we've had over the last, 30 years, except for maybe Obama, have been really kind of like, yeah, maybe we should build this wall. We should, even Bill Clinton was kind of like, we needed stricter controls on immigration.
Yeah,
you know, as much as people like think he's like an open borders guy, he was not. And
Obama,
Reagan didn't do it. No. Bill Clinton.
Well, Obama's
Obama
definitely,
not so much. Yeah,
Obama's deported more people than any other president.
Right, but I mean, as far as the wall specifically.
Well, the wall specifically. Yeah. Obama's definitely not open borders president either.
No. We haven't had an open borders president that I can even think of.
Not recently, no. Not in the past 100 or so years.
Yeah. So the idea that we're just going to build this wall, even though Reagan tried, Bush tried, Clinton tried, Bush Jr. tried, and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe we had an 8-year break from it, but it's just going to magically appear once we elect another Republican. It's nonsense. It's not going to happen. Yeah. And even if it does happen, it's going to be like, okay, we'll just need a longer ladder.
Yeah.
We'll build it 10 feet higher. We'll get 10 feet taller. Or they'll just get grappling hooks.
Yep. Or they'll dig tunnels. You know, wall can be easily defeated by a tunnel. Walls can be easily defeated.
Yeah,
easily. Well, what was that? There was a movie. What movie? Was it Machete? Where they had a whole thing about how they were trying to build a wall, and it was all. Have you seen that movie?
No, I don't know what it is. It's kind of like a kind of grindhouse style.
Yeah, it was great movie. But in the movie, the plot line of it, you know, I probably don't want to give spoiler alert. In the movie, it turns out they're only trying to build the wall, and you have like all the big the politicians backing the wall was only to control the because they were getting payoffs by the cartels in order to get. Drugs to limit the drugs moving across so only this one cartel could move drugs into the U.S. It was such a... So they, that was such a funny movie. If you haven't seen it, go see it.
Well, it's almost like the Carrier deal then.
Yeah. It was a great movie.
And a lot of these walls, the wall is pretty much kind of irrelevant. I mean, it could help on the very, very margins. But for the most part, a lot of legal immigrants come here, overstay their visas, and then don't go back home.
Yeah, you can just fly in as a visitor. Yeah. Just come over I'm on vacation.
Yep.
And then just overstay.
Just visiting family. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then just disappear. And then you can kind of find them in front of the Home Depot for, $100 a day, if they're lucky. Nah, $50 a day.
Depending on where they're at.
Work.
Yeah, depending on where you're at. But yeah, that's how a lot of people get in. It's not a lot of the, you'll have some that come in just sneaking across the border, but a lot of them do come in where is that? There was an article I read not that long ago about the people who overstay their visas aren't more like they're actually more likely to be Canadian than Mexican. Like the illegal Canadian immigrants, no one ever talks about them.
We gotta kick those guys out. They came with their beady little eyes and flapping heads,
trying to make everyone play hockey, calling everyone pal and guy and friend. Come on,
I'm not your guy friend. I'm not your friend pal.
I'm not your pal guy.
You're not my guy friend. Yeah. And don't bash hockey. Hockey's amazing. How dare you? I'll fight you.
No. Anyways. I'm from Michigan. I love hockey. Got the Red Wings. Red Wings are better. I'd hate the Canadians though.
Yeah, I used to be a Ducks fan, and then Vegas was like, oh, we have a team now. So it's like, all right, I got to back this team because I'm not going back to California. Yep. It's just not going to happen. You know? Anyways, side tangent. But yeah, the immigration, I have no problem with immigration so long as people come here and work. And, you know, I don't care if they're making 50 cents an hour. If that's the job that they want to take, so be it. Everybody who comes to the United States, no matter what time it was, have always kind of worked under what everybody else has made. And it's never really been a problem. In fact, it's kind of contributed to the wealth of the country. So,
yeah.
No problem with that.
That's very true. You know, and you the only limitation of immigration should really be someone is willing to hire you and rent to you or sell property to you, and you go to them and get hired by them, buy their property, and now you live there. I mean, really, what more immigration control do you need than someone is willing to trade with you?
Exactly. And, of course, people can always go, oh, they take all the stuff of the welfare system. Well, that's a problem for the welfare system. You're not going to kind of save the state through all of its welfare programs by stopping illegal immigrants, because a lot of the people who are sucking off for the government teat, so to speak, are just kind of American-born citizens. Social Security is probably one of the biggest drains when it comes to non-discretionary funding.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's not an illegal immigration problem. Those are old people. I want my money. I paid into it. I want it back. So, but it's not going to be around for us. No matter what you do with immigration, it's not going to last by the time we're going to retire.
Well, the illegal immigrants that come over and they might get their employers are still probably, you know, a lot of them will still take the money and, you know, pay into it and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of times, depending on the situation, sometimes it's strictly cash under the table, but sometimes they pay them, you know, on the books, off the books kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Where it, you know, and so sometimes in some circumstances you have these illegal immigrants that are paying into Social Security that can't even never take out of it because they don't have a Social Security number.
Not eligible.
You know, what about them? So, you know, if anything, illegal immigrants help the old people that need their Social Security.
It's a boon. Yeah, either way, if they do take money from the system and they're actually net drains, like, it doesn't really matter, because that'd probably be a good thing, because they would probably have to force us to come to grips with the terms that the welfare state is just unsustainable. Whether you have illegal immigrants or not, it's just unsustainable. The faster that ship sinks, the better. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's probably a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But sure, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people hurt, when it comes to that transition, but, you know, it's the wall's going to hit, and the faster we hit that wall, the less it's going to hurt down the line. The more we push, kick that can down the road, it's going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah. It's going to be a bigger problem.
Yep. Government sucks, and they suck at immigration controls.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hi, have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to Bipcoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface.
Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both the website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get it the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends. If you can't, chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, meow.
Meow.
Close enough.
Oh, 4chan. Oh, you.
what has 4chan done now?
The hacker known as 4chan.
I think he's Russian.
What is 4chan up to recently here?
Yeah, 4 does kind of look like one of those acrylic A's. Yeah.
He's Russian. Russian confirmed.
Confirmed Russian hacker 4chan.
We heard he's 400 pounds.
I'm going to...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to skip the headline because this is gold. Defying all reason and journalistic duty. This is Free Thought Project, by the way. Defying all reason and journalistic duty, BuzzFeed may now have topped the Washington Post in the quickly burgeoning fake news market, publishing accusation that President-elect Donald Trump has deep ties to Russia. But astoundingly baseless claim seems to be unraveled in the most hilarious way possible. A dossier compiled by the person who was claimed to be a former British intelligence officer alleges that Russia has compromising information on Trump. The allegations are unverified, and the report contains errors, the collaborative BuzzFeed article asserts. Duly noting that the dubious quality of information presented, BuzzFeed chose to publish the threadbare dossier sans any evidence of its legitimacy, and the rush to perhaps damn Trump before the upcoming inauguration has tentatively discredited by one of the most unlikely sources, 4chan. So what is 4chan? You want to fill people in on what 4chan is?
4chan is a website.
I'm asking you to do it, even though I used to participate in it back in, like, 08.
Back 4chan is basically a website that is an image board style website where people post anonymously, which is kind of like the point of it, is that everything's anonymous. So you... the same thing as like the V for Vendetta thing, which is kind of why V for Vendetta put a mask on, tell you the truth kind of thing. People tell you how they really feel when they're anonymous. So it's kind of, it's a website. It used to be fun back in like 08.
Now it's a bunch of...
No, it's a bunch of
posts.
Basically, it's posting. Yeah, it's not. It was always terrible. Don't let us lie to you.
But they never were involved in any kind of raids or anything like that. That was all E-Bombs World. But anyways,
yeah, E-Bombs World did it all. E-Bombs World did it.
Yeah, we'll never forget Habbo Hotel. So, anyways, first, Zero Hedge noted the contents of the original dossier. For those pressed for time, here it is at the best, in this most laughable part, discussing Trump's personal obsessions and sexual perversions, in which we learned that when staying at the Ritz-Carlton Moscow Hotel, in order to defile a bed in which Obama had stayed in previously, he employed a number of ladies of the night to perform, quote, I don't know if we're allowed to say this, but basically kind of miterating fetish I guess, finish a mitration show in front of him. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Indeed, while this description alone appeared so specious to disqualify the contents, the assessment nonetheless gained approval from BuzzFeed editor-in-chief Ben Smith, who defended the choice to publish the prior investigation in a memo to staff, subsequently posting to Twitter. Our presumptions to be, is to be transparent in our journalism and to share what we have with our readers. We have always erred on the side of publishing. In this case, the document was in wide circulation in the highest levels of the American government and media.
Well, they did it.
Yeah.
Look at them just blaming everybody. Like, we published this because they looked at it. It's circulating around there, so we had to publish it.
I think BuzzFeed only had one good article, and the person it was about ended up, like, threatening them with legal action, so they took it down, and that was about a particular cult leader. But anyways, BuzzFeed further notes, the document was prepared for political opponents of Trump by a person who is understood to be a former British intelligence agent. It's not just unconfirmed, it includes some clear errors. The report misspells the name of one company, Alpha Group, throughout, as it is Alpha, and they spell it, instead of A-L-P-H-A, they spell it A-L-F-A, like alfalfa. it says a settlement, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, it's all fake. You got trolled, BuzzFeed. No. Again. It's not the first time, either.
This is a pretty good troll, too.
Yeah.
More when we come back from the market.
With Michael Dean, oh, there is no BuzzFeed, thank goodness. Weird friends. And, yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free and, of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends. Review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
I closed the article because I was looking at We Are Number One memes. Absolutely great. So anyways, the report said, continuing on in this article that we're talking about, how 4chan fooled BuzzFeed and the CIA, is that right?
That's what it's looking like.
The report said that the settlement of Barakfa outside of Moscow was reserved for the residences of top leadership and their close associates. It is not reserved for anyone. It is also populated by the very wealthy. Did Smith somehow felt the juiciness of the content outweighed the need for the thinness of vetting procedures? If so, a comparison of and a criticism of WikiLeaks must be noted. Founder Julian Assange and WikiLeaks have unassailable 10-year record of publishing authentic documents. None have ever been proven to be fabrications by a court of law, by information technology experts, or by anybody else. Indeed, the publishing outlet, although known for printing all of its information as long as lives are not in imminent danger, has endured harsh criticism for blanket transparency. But BuzzFeed is not WikiLeaks. duh. And its rush to publish this story is fitting a desired narrative appears to be the biggest fake news fiasco yet, as Zero Hedge now reports. In a story that is getting more surreal by the minute, a post on 4chan now claims that the infamous Golden thing. And it's seen as the is in the unverified 35-page dossier allegedly compiled by a British intelligence officer was a hoax fabricated by a member of the chat board as fan fiction, then sent to Rick Wilson, who proceeded to send it to the CIA, which put it in their official classified intelligence report in the election. Chan.
Oh,
good job.
This is a good one. This is the best one yet.
Yeah. In short, 4chan, the long-standing internet troll board, appears to have epically trolled the CIA and hapless corporate media parroting BuzzFeed.
This is a good troll.
Yeah. In a post, 4chan explained how the allegedly events played out. So, a green text mark. Paul Axe mailed fan fiction to anti-Trump pundit Rick Wilson about Trump people making miterate upon a bed in which Obama slept in. Green text again. He thought it was real and gave it to the CIA. Green text. The Central Intelligence Agency of the United States put this in their official classified intelligence report on Russian involvement in the election. Green text. Donald Trump and Obama both have read this poll. Pollux. Poll is the one of the boards that's on 4chan, which is politically incorrect, which is about politics. It's really bad.
Yeah.
Pollux fan fiction. Green text. CIA concluded that the Russian plans to blackmail Trump with this story we just made up. Just let that sink in and what we've become.
Oh, this is too funny.
Yeah. Never Trump champion and veteran GOP consultant Rick Wilson took to Twitter and now what appears to be a rather awkwardly pompous rant stating WikiLeaks takes on a whole new meaning now, doesn't it?
But this wasn't published on WikiLeaks. Come on.
WikiLeaks
would
take time to vet something.
Yeah. WikiLeaks wouldn't publish something that's not vetted, that's blatantly so full of errors. Come on, BuzzFeed.
Yeah, they don't.
You should
on the side of publication. Yeah. BuzzFeed does.
No, they vet their stuff. Yeah.
Referring to the Russian intelligence community, quote, all kidding and puns aside, we fought so hard because we knew this, who Trump was and what the RUSIC had on him.
Sure.
Wilson and Smith, and particularly the CIA, could have soon plates overflowing with crow if these links to an internet prank gone hilariously awry prove true. And quite unlike BuzzFeed, if these images do indeed constitute proof of what they're saying, then this could be the most successful trolling mission ever undertaken. A Twitter account by the name of @MrBones_returns posted images of the supposed 4chan plot with the caption, quote, 4chan trolled Rick Wilson with the Trump urine story back in November of 2016. Media or CIA added Russian spies themselves. This is not a drill. Unquote. And there's some pictures with some some proof of this.
Yeah, we got the some screenshots from the board.
Yeah,
itself with timestamps.
And of course, Donald Trump, to use this, of course, took to Twitter, fake news, a total political witch hunt, okay? Yeah. So Trump's transition team did not comment for the BuzzFeed piece, but the president-elect's attorney told Mike, "It's so ridiculous on many levels. Clearly, the person who created this did so did so from their imagination, or did so hoping that the liberal media would run with this fake story for whatever rationale they might have. Trump himself, who prefers to deliver his responses and address the press via social media, tweeted, "Fake news, total political witch hunt." Okay. BuzzFeed claimed the documents were loosely attributed to an unnamed British intelligence agent who had passed around this for a month among journalists, lawmakers, and intelligence officials who have seen them. It goes on and on. Yeah. But yeah, this is gold. 4chan, you win.
This is a good one. I thought getting Trump elected was their best troll yet. This is even funnier.
they got an internet troll created and then trolled the CIA when they were mad about it.
Oh man, yeah, this is great. You know, it's great that they're using, you know. It's funny, just looking, they actually have the document here where you can see it.
They have the documents.
They got the documents, and it's funny.
It's great. It's bad. If you would have told me in 2009 that 4chan would be a political force to be reckoned with, I would have laughed at you. Like, oh yeah, you mean Ron Paul B? Yeah, how did that work out?
Yeah. See, now they must not have been trying hard enough. Yeah. But 4chan has definitely become, the hacker known as 4chan has definitely become
the Russian hacker. Yeah,
the Russian hacker known as 4chan has definitely become a political force to be reckoned with in this election season here, and even continuing on, getting something, you know, like this published in BuzzFeed, just. You know, this is just too great. They really did a good job with this. And the media, well, BuzzFeed, I shouldn't say the media, but BuzzFeed is like running with it too, and they're not backing down from some of their tweets. They're defending publishing this. It's pretty funny.
I didn't think they were able to top off the "I spent the entire day manspreading to see what it was about" piece, but they did. They beat it. They topped it. I didn't know it would be this bad. But
well, they got trolled into topping it here.
Yeah.
This is an epic troll job.
What they did is they got a couple of, I guess like three different women to go around to different subways and buses and stuff like that to quote man spread, which is basically, do they open their legs, you know, as wide as they can so people couldn't sit down. But a lot of times they weren't even doing that. They were just being complete jerks about it. They were like laying across like three seats. Like, that's not what man spreading was, right? Now, there's a reason why men spread like that, you know?
Yeah,
it's a mechanical thing. Issue.
Yeah, there's mechanics involved in there. You know, we can't really sit. It's uncomfortable for us to sit
With our legs crossed. Yeah, things get a little bit mashed down there. But
yeah,
that's usually why men are the ones that go like, "Oh, get up and let women sit."
Exactly. You
know? Like, yeah. But anyways. Absolutely ridiculous. BuzzFeed has been nothing but ridiculous, and this is just more proof of how well their journalistic integrity is. And I use those two words loosely. Very, very loosely.
Well, this is probably the funniest thing I think that they fell for here. This is great. You're just publishing a document completely unsubstantiated because... You wanted
Trump
to publish?
Is literally Hitler. Because Trump is literally Hitler.
Yeah, that's what it is, you know. And they're even in their article, though, it seems like they were iffy. They kind of seem like they might have been iffy about publishing and were trying to, you know, cover themselves a little bit, you know, by saying that these allegations are unverified and the report contains errors. They admit that right in their publishing of it. You know, like, come on. Really, you know, you have something that you admit is unsubstantiated, unverified, and it contains errors, yet you're just going to go ahead and publish it?
Yeah, and meanwhile, they're also complaining about the widespread fire that is
fake news.
Oh, now they're trying their own fake news. Yeah, here's some fake news. Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. In the era of fake news, everyone's fake news. Come on, this is just more fake news. Everything's fake news.
Yeah, it's like, I got this interesting piece I found on 4chan. Can we run this? Yeah, sure, whatever. Seems legit.
Yeah, let's just run that. Let's run this dude's green tech story. Let's just do that.
Yeah, but this is kind of the whole post-truth thing. Is like it's not just one side that's doing it. It's everybody that's doing it. It's not, you know, I really can't stand when it's like the left complains about fake news. It's like, well, you guys have been publishing fake news forever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just on the right. It's on the left too. Everybody publishes fake news, even major outlets.
Yeah, it's pathetic. I mean, they suffer from confirmation bias and publish whatever fits their narrative a lot.
Yep.
But this is the funniest one yet.
Yep.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hi, have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to Bipcoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both the website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends if you can't chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, coin.org.
Speaking of fake news, by the way, my little beanie babies hatched with all those wonderful little spider eggs.
Aww.
Fake news. Funny, like, yeah, but you know, we were doing satire though. Anyways, so sorry to anybody who actually believed that when I was posting that, but yeah, this kind of fake news thing is just kind of getting crazy. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's guilty, especially the ones that are complaining about it the most, right?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. It's great when you know, you have mainstream media just publishing unsubstantiated stuff and just making stuff up, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, here's this stuff. We're just going to report it. It's yep. You know, we're not even going to do a spell check on it and see if the spelling was right. You know?
And you know, Bobby 4chan probably left that those mis or actually put those spelling mistakes in there on purpose and was like, like, it's going to be even more funny once this is exposed to be a complete fraud.
Yeah.
You couldn't even bother to Google whether or not these companies existed.
Right. You couldn't even bother to tell whether the stuff is spelled right. Come on. You really think this was a 33-page report would have misspellings in it if it was actually professionally done by some intelligence agency? Come on. Do you think intelligence agencies don't have spell check?
Yeah. And I'm even seeing some of my friends posting this stuff on, I guess they're linking it to the Daily Beast. Report, Russia has Trump sex blackmail, allegedly including, quote, golden thing, with sex workers. It's like everybody's like posting this stuff like, well, it confirms their bias, so they're just going to repost it. And of course, you know, the kind of method that they've been using on Facebook to try to stop this. It's working well, guys. Good job.
Yep. Yeah.
Good job.
It's working. Facebook done it again. You know, that's how a lot of the algorithms work, though, is that, you know, you'll have stuff that's shared a lot will be shared more and, you know, put in people's feeds all the time. So
yeah.
So yeah, that's how fake news spreads.
Yeah, I look at the comments and some of these people are pointing out, like, dude, this is a 4chan hoax. And they're like, oh, well, my narrative.
That's what it is too. It's great. Yeah. 4chan hoax. It's the Russian hacker known as 4chan outdid himself grandly with this one, having actually, like, they're talking about they're having briefings on this too. Like, come on.
Did the New York Times buy it too? Wait, hold on.
I wonder if they did.
Please tell me the New York Times got it.
I hope they did. I hope they did.
Yeah, someone is saying that fake news and Washington Post and the New York Times bought it. I don't know if that's entirely true, but that's what some people are saying about it.
Newsweek bought it.
To the 4chan board.
Yeah. Newsweek got it.
Oh, gosh. This might be the greatest troll ever. So I, if there's any redemption here, is if you really want to combat fake news, make your own. Discredit everybody.
Oh, man. Newsweek. Come on, Newsweek.
Yep.
Oh.
Be the media. Be good media. And on top of that, feed fake stories to the dinosaur media, because they deserve to go down. Yeah, they've had their claws into the system for so long, and they've been controlling everything for so long, and they've been ruining everything for so long. It's time for the dinosaurs to finally finish thrashing in those tar pits and just kind of sink slowly. Mm-hmm. And hopefully quietly. Yep.
Yeah, I think that this would be great. This really is funny how this is spreading like this. Spreading this unconfirmed, unsubstantiated document that appears to be started by the hacker known as 4chan, the Russian hacker known as 4chan, is spreading through all these mainstream media outlets, big ones like Newsweek. it gets Watch even better.
Times, dude.
Yeah. Who's next?
The Post.
Who's next? Who's the next one? I want to know the next story. Come on, the Russian hacker known as 4chan, you're going to have to outdo yourself on the next troll jab now.
Yeah. I used to make fun of people who kind of posted stuff from the Washington Times. And now it's just like, now they're everything with the word Washington in it is bad.
Oh. What
great
a
show.
Worms. Great. This is too good. Worms.
Now you got to think of something to top the thong, because you just got outdid, buddy.
I got something in the works.
Awesome.